Here in drought-stricken California, we're still grappling with a dangerous fire season. The Loma Fire, which started on Monday, is currently making its way through the Santa Cruz Mountains and covers over 2,250 acres. The Bay Area is no stranger to devastating fires, though. Back in October 1991, a fire raged in the Oakland Hills.
Scenes of pure terror in the Oakland-Berkeley Hills. This location near the Caldecott Tunnel was one of the first hit by the fire. The fierce flames here had people running for their lives through an inferno of intense heat and smoke.
The fire killed 25 people and destroyed more than 3,000 homes. It was so destructive in part because of the many eucalyptus trees found throughout the Oakland Hills. Eucalyptus are highly flammable. When ignited, they can explode. They're such a hazard, federal emergency officials and local agencies have been developing plans to thin them out for years. But the plans continue to be thwarted by lawsuits and protests from people who want to conserve the forest. Just this week, a month before the trees were scheduled to begin coming down, the plan was stalled yet again. There's a similar controversy in the middle of San Francisco, amongst the eucalyptus trees on Mount Sutro. UCSF, which owns the land, will present its plan for managing the risk of fire to the public next month. KLW's Resu Sussman first reported on it back in 2013. Here's her story.
It's a rare sunny morning on Mount Sutro, and I'm hiking up with Rupa Bose. Bose lives in the Forest Knolls neighborhood, just down the hill, and she only discovered the forest a few years ago.
It was a shock to me that you could come out of a very ordinary San Francisco neighborhood full of houses and cars and step into this forest, and it was birds and the wind in the trees, and It doesn't feel like being in the city at all. So, yeah, it's simply gorgeous.
Bose now hikes here a few times a week, and she's a member of Save Sutro.
I'm sorry it's not a foggy day, because you should see this place when it's acting like a cloud forest. There's an understory of various plants, but I would say that blackberry predominates. There are some vines climbing up the trees. I don't see any of them having reached into the canopy. They're just climbing the trunks. And I have heard that unlike kudzu, which climbs into the canopy, climbs out onto the branches and strangles the trees, these ivies don't do that. They just climb the trunks and then stay put.
Later that week, I go on another hike up on Mount Sutro. This time, I'm with Craig Dawson. He grew up right below the forest, also in the Forest Knolls neighborhood. He loves it up here, has for half a century, and now he coordinates the trail maintenance and planting for the Sutro Stewards. He looks at the forest differently than Bose, starting with the ivy.
So the English ivy is one of the largest problems that we have out here. The English ivy will climb into the crowns of the trees, and it actually kills the tree that it's climbing eventually. Not instantly, but over a period of years. A lot of people walk out here and they see green and they think, wow, green. The area is healthy, it's lush. But there's good green and there's bad green. And when you want to evaluate a forest and you want to talk about management, you have to take a look at what is actually beneficial and what is actually harmful. We were just talking about the ivy climbing into the trees. That's harmful. We have two types of ivy. We have Cape ivy, which is the light green stuff down here. And we have the English ivy, which is way up in the tops of some trees.
Two hikes, two conversations with people who love this place, yet two very different perspectives on where it's at now. To understand the forest, we need to look at its roots. How did it even come to be here in the middle of the city? In the 1860s and 70s, a German immigrant named Adolf Sutro made millions in Nevada's Comstock Lode silver mine. He came to San Francisco and invested in real estate. A lot of real estate. Sutro eventually owned 1/12 of San Francisco, including what was then called Blue Mountain. Sutro called it Mount Parnassus, and it is now known as Mount Sutro. To celebrate San Francisco's very first Arbor Day in 1886, Sutro planted thousands of trees on his extensive property, mainly blue gum eucalyptus. And before he died at the turn of the century, Sutro gave some of his land on top of Blue Mountain to UCSF. The land hosted a lumber mill. Ishii lived there. The military had part of its Nike missile defense system up there. But from the late 1970s through the late 90s, the forest was pretty much left alone.
We have owls. There's a couple different types. We have the hawks that are up here. And you can witness that quite frequently along these trails where you'll see the signs of something having been recently devoured. We have coyotes sighted up here regularly. We have the raccoons and skunks and possum. Years ago, we used to have red-tailed fox up here.
Craig Dawson tells me there was even a mountain lion spotted a few years ago, so it's pretty wild for an urban forest. But the unchecked growth could keep it from being
a healthy forest, a safe forest, a beautiful forest, and an accessible forest.
That's Barbara Baggett-Lopez, the Director of Community Relations for UCSF. The university has a forest management plan, originally developed in the late 90s after a community feedback process.
We're going to work to thin the trees and to remove underbrush. So it's a more open understory. You can say, stand back, neighbors, UCSF, experts, whoever, can stand back and say, do I like that or do I not like it?
Rupa Bose of Save Sutro does not like it.
Talking about removing 90% of the understory, mowing down 90% of the understory in the demonstration areas.
Bose's estimate is based on the most severe scenarios in the draft environmental impact report. And Sutro Stewards Craig Dawson?
That will never happen. It's just not a possibility.
Whether it's a lot of cutting or a little, UCSF's Barbara Baggett-Lopez says,
we'll have to see how people react to it. The other thing about visual effects, and it really isn't something you can see immediately, but when you enable trees to thrive, then their canopies open up more, and you can kind of look around Mount Sutro and see, boy, that's a scrawny tree. That's one that's pretty scrawny too. But if they have room to breathe and room to actually make use of the nutrients in the soil, the canopies end up filling out. So it's much, much more fuller and much healthier looking.
Managing an urban space isn't easy. The more people who use it, the more opinions there are on what should be done with it, and the longer it can take to actually implement a plan. But whether they like it or not, the regular hikers on Mount Sutro will see a different forest sometime next year, probably. On Mount Sutro, I'm Rae Sue Sussman for Cross Currents.